This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Justin Townes Earl.
Help high and see red back blue back. She should be driving something long and black. All I'm asking you, brother, do you know the pretty little thing riding by in a champagne Corolla? I seen her around here just last night. Today she been by 2-3 times. Ain't you listening to me?
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today to Justin Townes Earl. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to get a chance to talk shop with you here on the program. And just to set the stage for our listeners, we're having a conversation in an RV. And not just a random RV, but an RV with a couple of horses, as I look to my left here in the pasture. This is at the Crown Guitar Festival in Big Fork, as we are recording this in late August of 2018, and Justin will be a part of the festival and workshop. So a very pastoral setting outside of the RV as we do this interview. JustinTownesEarl.com is the name of Justin's website, and Kids in the Street is the name of the most recent project, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Let's start right there with Kids in the Street, because this is a pretty fresh project.
Well, it's the most recent record. I actually just made another record, but this one is the only one that's out right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, it started as all my records do. I've always been a writer who I believe in writing records, and so it started with an idea of mainly just watching as I travel around the world the march of progress, as optimists would call it, over gentrification of cities. Mm. Everywhere, pretty much is I've watched that, and it's just kind of watching how it's kind of just, you know, that well, I guess it's that that 35-year-old record. You know, you've that's the first time I think you you look back and you see that everything actually, you know, not just a few things are gone from where you grew up. Everything's gone from where you grew up, pretty much, you know.
And when you say writing as a record, you mean like writing as an album? In other words, a set of
It's not. It's like my records are always concept records in a sense. Like they're not a concept record in the same sense that White Mansions or The Redheaded Stranger or something like that is a concept record. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely, they have a theme that runs throughout them. Mm-hmm. For sure.
When it comes to the writing of the material, is it a matter of you accumulate a group of songs and say, oh, this seems to be a theme in this, and then put that together? Or is it more like, okay, I'm going to put this forth, I'm going to write with this theme in mind?
Right, with the theme in mind, I think that it's taking kind of more of a narrative approach to it, as opposed, like, almost like you're writing chapters. Mm-hmm. They're just real short, concise chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that you tour like quite a bit for a long time. So I'm assuming that a lot of this, from a lyrical standpoint, this is where a lot of the inspiration came from.
A lot of it does. And, but I mean, a lot of it too, it's like processing life, even just before, you know, I was 25 years old, is kind of difficult sometimes. So I'm still, you know, still a lot of my songs are based in, there's a good bit of personal and then a good bit of exterior. I think it's very wise to mix the both, because nobody wants to hear a diary entry. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be boring. So you have to find a way to kind of to use it with what you see around you.
And what do you find is the best way to try to do that? To find that balance between, you know, letting through the personal, but not getting, as you say, it's turning into a, here's my diary set to music.
Well, I think describing it as a thesis is the best way to go, is to go about it, because a thesis has to be something, a subject that you're passionate about, so you know something about it. Mm-hmm. So you're able to break it down into a hard beginning, middle, and end. and you're using only the most pertinent descriptive information. Mm-hmm. you're not gonna, you know, if a girl walks in a pretty dress, and, you know, or like say she has red lipstick on or something like that, you know, you don't need to describe, you know, her shape, her color of her eyes, even her something like that. You know, you can let everybody else put their girl behind that red lipstick. And things like that. So you can leave things open for people to buy into what you're trying to sell.
In the corner by the door, sitting all on her own. She's been there all night long on the phone, with her head hanging down. There in the screen light, see the tears. Say, though I find the cause most hurt these days is a lack of feel of the world. I don't know why I should care. Lord knows I've got my own crosses to bear. Last time I checked, there wasn't no one keeping score. I just wonder what she's crying for. Don't strike me as the helpless soul. I just wonder what she's crying for. Yeah, I wonder what she's crying for.
Justin, can we talk a little bit about Nashville and just kind of, you know, that's where you're from originally. Lot of layers to Nashville for you, I'm sure. A lot of personal stuff that goes along with that and musical stuff. Let's maybe just kind of touch a little bit on, you know, you got into music very early as a player and also, as I recall, writing pretty early too. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I started writing when I was 13. I started writing and then... By the time I was 15, I could see that I was starting to get some enough of a hold onto it to where I was convinced that it was something that I wanted to do. A few songs that I wrote when I was 15 ended up on my first record. Songs like Halfway to Jackson and Ain't Glad I'm Leaving, and a lot of the bluesier stuff that I wrote back then. Very few songs from back then made it that far, you know. I started to see little signs of it, and the first time that, like, you know, I played one of my songs for my dad and he didn't say, you know, good try, but go back again.
Is that what he would say before that?
Yeah Huh, no, yeah. He didn't pull any punches. There was no, you know, good job when it wasn't a good job, you know, from him at all. As far as songwriting was concerned, yeah. Because it was, he was worried about me getting involved in this and doing this because I'm his kid. He thought that I would be pounced on or something like that. He always told me, he was just like, you don't get to make bad records, is what he used to always say to me.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
If listeners don't know, your father's Steve Earle.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty significant moment. I was going to ask you, what was that moment where you realized, hey, I think I'm on to something? And that sounds like maybe that was it, when you presented it to your dad and he didn't say, nice try, go try it again.
Yeah. I think I was more like 19 when he came and saw me play, and I played a song during the set, one of my songs, Maria, and after the show, he asked me what Elvis Costello song I played was. And I said, I didn't play an Elvis Costello song. And he was like, that Maria song. And I was like, that's mine. And so that was the first time where I tricked him.
And all that's intense.
It was a trick.
That had to be really intense.
Yeah, but that was definitely where I stopped. And I think at that point, I quit wanting to be like the old-timey player, you know, that I old-timey blues guy that I was before, and wanted to be more of just an all-around songwriter. You know, and be able to write, you know, whatever I wanted to, as opposed to get pigeonholed into one particular thing.
Which is interesting because that's how I might describe Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song happened to be like kind of the odd man out of a bunch of like blues songs that I'd written there that I was writing during the period. Mm-hmm. So I think that it was just that one that tugged me out of it, you know. Yeah. The sun doesn't rise and set in the key of E.
Used to be I was the object of affection in your eyes alone, but now it seems your heart has found a new direction and you're leaving me out in the cold. If you're gonna break my heart, go on and break it. No, I don't need you no more. I've tried so hard, now my will is breaking. Baby, even though I still love you. I remember when it used to make me happy just to look into your eyes. But now every time I try, you're looking past me, and I don't know why. So baby, you don't even gotta tell me. No, I already know. So don't even say goodbye, just walk on past me. I don't wanna hurt no more. Not for you, Maria. Any way I turn, know I can find a better way to. I guess mama wasn't lying about the dangers there could be inside one's heart. We're better off if we all remain strangers stumbling through the dark. Oh, Maria.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Justin Towns Earl. We are speaking to Justin in an RV in a beautiful pastoral pasture. I guess most pastures would be pastoral, or most, I don't know.
They could be boggy.
Yeah, I guess they could be boggy. Yeah. But it's a beautiful setting here in Big Fork as we are recording this in late August of 2018. Justin is part of the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop. Justin, what I wanted to ask you about was a quote from another interview I think I heard on your website, maybe. And I like this. You describe yourself as not a walking on sunshine kind of guy.
No.
and I wondered, what if that was a direct reference to Katrina and the Waves, which maybe is for those of us of a certain age that remember that tune, or just talk a little bit about what that meant for you.
Well, it means that I'm not. It's mainly just the content of that song. I mean, that's in it. It's an incredible track, but it's just the lyrics are, you know, walking on sunshine, it's time to feel good. And that's, I really just don't, you know, that's just not how people feel, you know, and that's what pop music's for. You know, I think that there's certain music that is supposed to make people feel good. It doesn't necessarily have to be that out and out, but I guess, you know, it's just there to make people feel good. I guess I subscribe more to what I call the George Jones theory, is that you listen to George Jones and you feel better when you listen to George Jones because you know that he feels worse than you do. You know, I kind of like, I think I've always written kind of in that kind of effect, is to not try to, I don't want to be anything to aspire to, but something to relate to.
I see what you're saying. Where do you find that balance between, this is a classic, you know, it's a little bit of a cliche thing to ask singer-songwriters, but finding the balance between light and darkness, you know, as far as where you go with that, not only musically, but obviously lyrically.
Yeah, I think that it's the keeping somewhat of a wry sense of humor when writing dark can, a nonchalantness about it, not being like you're dwelling on it or you're trying to convince anybody of anything, or, you know, if you want to be super dark, you know, be kind of blasé about it and not so intense about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love sweet sounding songs that have dark messages.
Mm-hmm.
Old songs like The Knoxville Girl and things like that, where, I mean, it's a beautiful song, but it's written about murder. I mean, an actual terrible, brutal murder, you know?
Yeah.
But it's incredible. It's beautiful.
Just another quote that comes from your website, which I'm going to have to paraphrase it a little bit, but it is a little more on the personal side, and I wanted to touch on it a little bit. At some point, you realized it just was not cool to die young, which is kind of a heavy thing to put forth, but I'm hoping it's okay to ask about that, because I think it must come from a much more personal experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it seems to be lightening up in this next new, you know, coming generation of musicians, the younger musicians. They don't seem so far to be as self-destructive as we were. Because I think, once again, I came in young, and I've been doing it a long time. So I got in on this last end of this free for all, you know, where it was, you know, it's like, when I started touring, if you wanted drugs, you asked the promoter, you didn't ask the sound guy. You called the promoter ahead of time and you said, we need these drugs, or the house guy. And they would always know where to get drugs. You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't a thing where, you know, like these days, you know, luckily the guys aren't, these kids coming up don't seem to be pushing it like we did. Maybe one of the best accomplishments of my generation of musicians is maybe convincing the next generation that they don't have to be, they don't have to be screwed up to write good songs.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. Cause I mean, I know great songwriters who are, aren't drinkers, aren't druggers, mm-hmm. and never have been.
Yeah.
And I think that was not an underlying, but an overlying myth to this. You know, it hung over the head of musicians and singer songwriters, mm-hmm. for years, you know. I think this culture glorifies excess to, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, drugs, sex, mm-hmm. buying the Kardashians, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's all everything to excess.
And if I may, I think one of the things that you've mentioned in another interview was, as I think is the case for a lot of folks, a big page for you turned when you became a father.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that it definitely, you know, for the first time, you know, first time in my life, I sometimes, you know, but I must admit only for a minute wish that I'd chosen another line of work, you know, but I know who I am. I have a kid. It wouldn't be good for me to decide to change my line of work, but I do start looking for ways to be at home a little bit more than I used to.
Well, the Mississippi Delta is shining like a national guitar. I'm following the highway down the river through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boy pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion, he's 9 years old, and he's the child of my first marriage. And I have reason to believe we all be received in Graceland. And she comes back and tells me she's gone. As if I didn't know that, as
as if I didn't know my own bed, as if I never noticed the way she combs her hair off her forehead. And she says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart, and everybody sees the wind blowing. Oh, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. Poor boy, pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companion, he's ghosts in empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts of empty. And I have reason to believe we all be received in Graceland. Now there's a girl in New York City, she calls herself a human trampoline. Whenever I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. And she means we're bouncing into Graceland. Says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart. Everybody sees the wind blowing. Oh, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. Reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland.
JustinTownsEarl.com is the name of Justin's website. It's a terrific website. Very, very put together, and lots of great information there. Kids in the Street is the most recent album, but we're looking forward to a new release in May of 2019 or so.
I think so, yeah.
And do you have a working title or a...
Not just yet. Well, I do, but I'm not telling anybody yet.
Not just yet might be a good...
Yeah.
Might be a good one right there. Justin, thanks so much for making time to chat with us here on Musician Spotlight. It's been great.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I got this woman, she didn't treat me right. She just stay out drinking till the morning lights. And I'm bye-bye, baby, wherever you may be. That's right, mom. Boy, you got them other men, don't know what you need of me. So I went to the station and got on that train. Went and told the conductor, get this dang moving, man.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Justin Townes-Earl. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop in Big Fork, Montana for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.